CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, prisoners, inmates, people who are in lockdown. Yes, good morning. Smile, because government is watching you. The police and the military, they are coming. Biggie Fella is going to shoot you if you come out of your house. Jesus. It's exciting times, man. I have to admit something I'm kind of embarrassed about.
Ooh,
yeah. Ooh.
I'm going to start the show off.
Let me just see who's on the gallery of rogues this morning. We have Sia Sangweni live from the Durban studio. That's right, in his mother's laundry.
Hashtag what a time to be alive.
What a time to be alive, Sia. We have Mbulelo, who's running things in the studio, along with Mfundo, who is producing the show this morning from there. And Pinky Mokemani, who is in her house, also in Johannesburg, which we've decided to adopt as an auxiliary studio as well.
Morning, everyone.
Morning, Pinks. How have you been holding up? We haven't checked in with you since last Thursday when we were all new to this and we hadn't even officially gone into lockdown yet. So how's it been? Have you been out of the house?
I haven't left the house at all, hey? Even just to get some sunlight. I've just been indoors the whole, 7 days now?
Yeah. It's not so bad, really. This is the thing I wanted to admit.
No, it really isn't.
So I went to the shops yesterday for the first time, and it really is the only time I've been properly out of my house and not just with, you know, my family. So it was a very pleasant experience, and I'll explain what I observed having been to the shops for the first time. But here's the thing that I'm a little shy to admit, is I'm kind of enjoying this lockdown thing. And the reason I'm shy to admit it is because obviously I like being in my house. And I'm not that needy of company. I thought I'd be much worse off, but I'm actually okay. I think it hits harder on weekends. I'm okay with this. I actually feel like the days are going too fast, which is the opposite that I think a lot of other people feel, that it's going too slowly. And I slept. Oh my God, did I sleep well last night?
Oh,
I went to sleep.
I envy you.
Pinky, I got into bed because I was pretty tired yesterday. I had a lot to do. And I mean, I'm really working. I'm not sitting around the house. That's probably also why I'm not bored, you know. Got into bed at like 8:30. After I made another healthy meal. You see, I'm feeling good about having control over the little things because I don't have control over the virus or, you know, rules or any of that stuff. So I'm making it a feeling of, I feel like I'm in control of some things. They're little things like my meals and my sleeping. And man, it feels good, even those little things. You know, again, I'm going to refer to a book that Viktor Frankl wrote. He was a guy who was imprisoned in the concentration camps during World War II. And he's written, he had written some incredibly powerful stuff during his lifetime about how humanity has this dark side and this light side. And he even says, if you can't control what's going on around you, you can maybe control yourself. And
true.
Timothy Maurice said something great yesterday, which also inspired me a little bit. And by the way, we got some great feedback about Timothy Maurice, so we're going to have him on again.
He's always great value.
He took us down this path of like sex. And he's been reading these sex books. And by the end of that conversation, we had so many people agreeing and disagreeing with him. But the nice thing was no one was talking about coronavirus.
Mm.
But he said Isaac Newton came up with his theory of gravity and the various theories of motion and even some of the optics theories that he came up with. During quarantine, there was a plague in the 1600s in England. And he quarantined himself and he came up with these brilliant ideas while he was in quarantine. And part of it is because he had control of himself. So he became intensely routine and he became quite religious, which usually doesn't go with science, but in this case it did. And when he got out of quarantine, everybody thought he was crazy. But the guy
look at what that sun can do for you.
Look at what it did. We've got the theory of gravity, which is so basic, so central to understanding of the universe now. Like, we wouldn't have had that if it wasn't for Isaac Newton. So thank God for him. And it made me inspired. It suddenly gave me an idea. Like, if you can get control of the little things in your life, like, I'm trying to do exercise every day, and I know that's hard. And you start off, and you're all like, yeah, I'm going to do this. And you see these really, really fit people on Instagram who just have not an ounce of fat in their bodies.
They can do, like, more than one push-up.
And they do push-ups where they do the push-ups, and they clap in between these motherfuckers. I fucking hate those people. With your clapping in between your push-ups. Superman.
Guys, just tread carefully. These are Mbulelo's friends.
I know, but I do find them inspiring because these are people who've achieved mastery over their bodies, right?
Absolutely.
Oh.
Just the diligence that's needed for something like that.
Yeah, so I loved sleeping late or sleeping early and waking up this morning feeling refreshed. That never happens to me. I'm always tired because I can't go to sleep early. And then I wake up early for this show, and usually I'm getting by on about 4 to 6 hours if I'm lucky. And last night I went to sleep 8:30, so that's 9:30, 10:30, 11:30, 12:30, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Jesus, that's 9 hours. I'm.
Oh, wow.
That's never happened to me.
Look at that.
Well, not never, but it's rare.
And I still maintain the doing the show is good because it still gives you an anchor of productivity and still gives you an anchor to the day.
Yeah. We've had a lot of people requesting to watch a video stream of us, but I'm just worried it's going to degrade the sound quality. So we're doing some experiments. Greg, who's a technical genius, is busy trying to figure out a way that we can show you what we see on the screen, because I can see, let me describe everybody to you. So Mbulelo's in the studio, which everybody who's ever listened to the show, you must have seen. He's sitting with a fake tree in the background and the cliffcentral.com logo. And he's got his headphones on, he's wearing a hoodie. Then Sia's sitting in what's mostly whited out by the light. Have you got a light on you, shining on you?
No.
Oh, okay, because it looks like
it's a very bright room.
It looks like you're one of those Instagram professionals who has like a lighting ring in front of you.
Gareth, maybe I'm born with it.
Well, maybe. Sure. But I mean, see, you moisturize and you are shining this morning. You look spectacular. Sia looks like he was born yesterday. So young and supple. And he's got this white background with... you know, if that's the laundry room, that's not a bad laundry room. And then Pinky is sitting in a enormous, great big house. She's living there with a friend of hers, and she's got this. Is that a wall or is that wallpaper behind you?
It's wallpaper.
It's wallpaper of this forest scene. I mean, you've got the most professional backdrop of all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And
Thank you, guys.
It really looks good.
Thank you, Gareth.
Just to let you in so you don't feel like you're not seeing what we're seeing. And actually, Pinky looks kind of fresh this morning, too. So I don't know what you're doing to keep fit and healthy, but it looks like you've got sparkle in your eyes.
It's working.
I was born yesterday, eh?
Yeah, all right.
Let's not forget you, Gareth. Gareth looks like he was taken off the street and into a library.
Someone said when they saw a picture, because we take screenshots and we put them on the podcast, someone said that it looks like on the History Channel in an interview, one of those old fucked up professors. Yeah, those people who live in these houses where their books and everything has dust on it.
Exactly.
I've always, deep down inside, I think I should be living in a castle and I should have billions of dollars and I'd still have a room like this. You know, whether I was rich or poor, I'd have a room like this. If this was my only room, I'd put my bed in it. But it's cool. I've got a secret formula also now that I'm drinking. First of all, I know, Mbulelo, you have your misgivings about sugar in tea and everything. And I think you've managed to get Jane down to how many sugars in her tea?
So we've taken it from 3, and we're at 1 at the moment, 2 every now and then with a bit of guilt. So,
okay.
But we're at 1.5, let's go.
Okay. Well, I put one sugar in my coffee or my tea, which I don't drink a lot of, but I've actually given that up completely. I put some honey in now, and honey is much better for you, right? Everybody says honey's good for you. So give me your you've probably read about this because you're that kind of guy. So tell me about honey.
Well, it's good for your face as well.
Mm-hmm. So Sia must be having some honey then.
You can.
I'm taking notes.
You can use it to remove body hair.
Oh, really? No, no. I'm talking about when you drink it, because as I understand, your body absorbs sugar and honey differently.
And it's, you know, we're fortunate enough to have Dr. Witt on, so you'll probably correct me a little bit later, but it's also right. The synthesis, how we synthesize it. So remember, whatever you put into your body, you'll wear it. And yeah. There's different types of sugars, and then more natural honey, of course, means you're using it as energy and not it's sitting in on your belly.
Yeah, right? if you're up already, Dr. Witt, you better research this, because Mbulelo sounds like he's making it up as he goes along. totally untrustworthy. So, all right. So it's called it's called a cortada. And I know that they serve this in coffee shops all over the place. And I've always ignored it because I'm one of those people who orders what I usually order. But a cortada. Uh-huh. So I've got a little cup like this. And I've got I love New York here because I'm feeling for New York at the moment. But it's a small cup. So it's slightly bigger than an espresso, like bigger than a shot glass. But it's half the size of a normal coffee. And then I do an espresso in it. And some honey, a little bit of honey, and some milk. So it's like a mini coffee. And it's fantastic. Ooh. It takes you like it takes 2-3 sips and you're done. So you don't feel like you're overfilled with this big cup of gross warm water with some flavoring in it. And I don't need more than 2 a day, and it's just perfect. So I've discovered something. I feel like I'm Einstein. This is my theory of relativity.
Are you already feeling better from drinking this?
Yeah, I mean, I have one in the morning when I wake up, which is just awesome. And I have one maybe in the day when I'm feeling a bit tired. But it works. This is my new thing. I'm going to do cortadas only. All right, let's cross to the United States of America in Washington, D.C. Our friend Debbie Droke is there. How are you, Deb?
Hi, sweeties. How is everybody?
We're good. We're good.
Good morning, good evening.
I know. I mean, hey, I don't know. I liked hearing about your backdrops, which are very nice. And I think I've been in that room, Gareth. But I'm in my jammies. And actually, I've never gotten out of my jammies today.
You've been in those the whole day?
Yeah, yeah.
So, Deb, I didn't go out. You've got an interesting situation there because you used to work for SAA. That's how we met you.
Yes.
And SAA is obviously in huge trouble now, as are all the airlines.
Yeah.
And you've been doing some work for Alitalia as well. And I feel so bad for Italy. We talk about New York, but God. I mean, you've got Italian-American heritage, right? And
yes. You
must have lots of friends in Italy because you and Bill spent some time in Europe. What are you feeling at the moment? And what can you tell us about, first of all, Italy, second of all, the airline industry?
So, SAA is definitely having its issues, and the North American office closed down here for 3 weeks when you all, had the stay at home from the president. And I've been talking to my South African friends, too. So my heart goes out to you all. And then, you know, working for Alitalia now, and I live there for 3.5 years. It's very difficult. I just talked to my friend in Vasto today, which is parallel to Rome on the Adriatic coast.
Right.
And it was really, I had no idea how strict they are. In order for them even to go to the grocery store or any place outside, they have to write to the government online, and they have to have a piece of paper saying that they were allowed to go. And if they get pulled over, they get fined. I mean, it's very much like Gestapo tactics, but, you know, the curve is going down. And I think at some point, everyone is going to have to get to that in order for it to stop. It's just, it's frightening. It really is frightening. So, I worry about South Africa with the townships. I mean, you know, I've been there for many years. And, I'm glad. I mean, there's many people dying in Italy, but the curve is going down. We haven't hit our peak yet. So here in the United States.
Yeah. How's Washington, by the way? Because obviously a big fear is that it's in New York at the moment, but it's going to spread through the rest of the country.
Yeah. No, it is frightening. And you know, it's weird for me because, you know, my brother recently passed away and he lived in Arkansas. So when he died, we left on a Tuesday to get to Arkansas and we came back. That was like on the 10th and we came back like on the 16th and the whole world had changed.
Wow.
So to come back to DC, and to see the shelves empty and people then starting to take it very seriously, we almost felt detached, and then all of a sudden it just kind of blew up in our face. Washington is finally figuring it out that, you know, we need to do social distancing. I'm so glad that Florida, you know, not very happy with the governor there. He finally put in a stay-at-home order, but, you know, and he wasn't letting New Yorkers and people from New Jersey come down, but he let all these kids come to spring break, to the beaches.
Yeah.
It was disgusting. It was just really disgusting. So, you know, I can't imagine it getting worse, but it's going to get, you know, 20 times worse. And, you know, one of the commentators said yesterday that if we started yesterday on a perfect day and did everything perfect, we're still expecting up to 240,000 people to die.
I heard that. That is a frightening number.
Wow.
It's incomprehensible. So, you know, and I just think that, we're in this all together, as you know, the whole world is in this together, but it's just hard for your mind to comprehend. I mean, compartmentalize everything. So, you know, I have these moments of terror. You know, we're all going back and forth, you, me and Rena, Sia and Gareth and Rena and I, and, you know, I sent that thing to you today about Italy and when you put faces to the statistics, I just have these moments of terror. But, you know, but just like in South Africa, the spirit of Americans is very, you know, it's great. And we have a lot of people helping each other.
Yeah.
I'm no longer doing my EMT work because they're waiting. They've just kind of had just, you know, essential personnel. And then God forbid if the career people, start getting the virus, then they'll have people to, you know, back up to to call on. So,
and your family are all right? I mean, I'm sorry about your brother. That's a very sad story.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Yes, Bill is still driving me freaking crazy, so he's fine. I'll say hi, Bill. Bill says hi, and Daniela, thank God you've been to the house. Sia, you and Gareth have been to the house. You know, we have three levels. Daniela is working on the bottom level. That's where she lives. And it's very nice that we have family because, you know, Sia and I were talking earlier today. He went to Durban so he wouldn't be absolutely crazy being alone. So
yeah,
I feel blessed that we've got, you know, three people here, but we haven't seen Polly and the grandbaby and his wife for 3 weeks. I mean, they came by, but I couldn't touch it. Yeah. I cried. I couldn't touch them. And yeah. So yeah, it's hard, but you know, again, what are you going to do?
We can do this. I mean, this is great. I every time we speak to you on the show, I don't get to see you. Now I get to see you, which is cool.
Yeah, I know. And am I jamming?
I really appreciate you staying up so late because, it's late in the evening over there.
It's fine.
Yeah.
I'm a night out.
Promise me you'll look after yourself and everybody else that you can. I know that you and hey, Bill, how you doing, man?
There he is.
Bill's wearing his USAF tank top.
Yeah, US Air Force.
There we go. That's right.
Had that on for 3 days now.
All right.
I can't even remember the last time. Listen, I dressed up. You see, look at my earrings. This is the only time I've had earrings on in 3 days.
Right. Good for you. All right. Well,
I can't remember the last time I put makeup on.
We love
she
you.
Only lets me have water.
What's that? What does Bill say?
I only allow him to have water. I won't let him drink anymore. Obnoxious.
This is going to be amazing for your marriage.
Yeah, we'll check you. We'll check you guys out in 2 weeks' time to see if you're still so chipper.
No shit. Love you all.
Love you too. Wow. Thank you, Debbie. Thank you.
Ciao.
Debbie Droke, everybody, live from Washington, D.C. Yeah, people are finding different ways to cope with this. It's interesting.
Yeah.
I was watching. Pinky, there's some kind of sound that's bleeding through from your side. Is it those headphones you got on?
Maybe it is. Let me change them and see how.
Oh, listen to this. All right. So Madonna.
But I'm sure it's Stain City. There's 7 headphones waiting.
Madonna. Did you see this video of Madonna? Last week already. It's probably old news for some people.
How did you stumble upon it?
Someone sent it to me. And I said, can you believe this bitch? So Madonna, she's in the bath, okay? And she's made an Instagram video or a YouTube. I don't know what it is because I got the file. I actually got the – I'm not going to play it for you because it's so annoying. But she's lying in her bath. And she's got rose petals and bubble bath and candles. And this is some bathroom, let me tell you. It's a big marble bath. Very impressive. I'm still bleeding through there, Pinks. I don't know what's going on.
Oh, no.
Have you got a speaker on somewhere?
I don't have one, hey? Let me just change rooms.
I don't think it's the room. It's just I'm coming through like twice. I can almost hear like reverb. It seems to be better now. No, it's not. Anyway, so Madonna's lying in this bath, and she's saying, oh, COVID-19 is like the great equalizer. I'm thinking, equalizer of what? Most people do not have a bath, let alone one with rose petals and bubble bath and candles all around it, you crazy nutcase. What is up with this woman? And, you know, J-Lo's posting pictures of – she lives in a house in Miami – which looks like the house from Parasite. It's this big,
it's
this huge glass house, and you know it's got these massive rooms, and everything's glass all the way around. Obviously, because you know Miami's summer all year round, and her kids are like on hoverboards outside, and she's going, "I am having a really tough time with this lockdown." I'm like, you you bitch. How dare you?
J-Lo is not Guadalupe. She doesn't have the accent.
That's what she sounds like.
Can you dial that back?
These people, you know, these fucking celebrities, they are so out of touch with reality. They have no idea of what... Like, this is the most hardship they've ever been through in their lives. There are people who wake up every day. And I know we all feel a little bit weird at the moment. So forgive yourself if you've done this. But... there are people who wake up every day and their life is way worse than lockdown, right? Every day they have to struggle to survive. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty, but these celebrities have no self-awareness at all. They wake up in the morning and they go into these beautiful, glamorous lives. And now under lockdown, sure, they don't have their beauty therapist and their hairdresser and their makeup artist and their stylist and the 23,000 people it takes to make them look good, which is another reason you shouldn't feel bad if you don't look so great at the moment, because we're going to see these celebrities, man. If I tell you, I've seen a couple of them in TV show interviews and their backgrounds, we all described our backgrounds. Yeah. They got these glamorous, beautiful houses. And some of them you could see have gone to some trouble to make their backgrounds look really good. Like some of them have put a picture in the background, or they've moved their best artwork around to make it look really, you know, zhuzh and very exciting. Yes. And look at how the opulence I live in. But these people have no self-awareness. They're complaining about how they can't go out with their friends. I mean, we all joke about that stupid Cardi B, you know, going, coronavirus, I want to go out. I want to go out. She just wanted to go out and drink. Mm-hmm. And the weirdest thing about her is that she, at least we know with Cardi B, she is vacuous and superficial. But with these ones, until now, we didn't know how superficial they were. We didn't realize that actually these people have nothing to say. And I mean, this goes for Instagram celebrities as well. You know, these low-level, what they call influencers, who up to now, they've been able to take videos of themselves going to fancy events and dressing up and being with their other celebrity friends. Now we see how boring they actually are because they've got nothing to say. And when they're in their own houses, there's nothing for them to add that's valuable.
Well, I had, now you're making me actually have a sort of existential moment, is that I'm so glad that I'm mediocre looking, because, you know, the thing with these beautiful people is, what's the use of being beautiful if there's no one to tell you how beautiful you are?
Uh-huh. Oh.
Like for them, that's where it is, right?
That's their kryptonite, is that they don't have anyone telling them that.
So that's why. Oh. Yeah, that's why J-Lo being a billionaire at home is just so difficult for her.
Oh. Well, I mean, am I being unfair that Madonna mustn't lie in a bathtub? She mustn't talk about equality and how coronavirus is the great equalizer. When that woman she's living in luxury that is beyond belief, even for those of us who have a little bit, she looks like someone who has way too much. And I'll tell you what, if the zombie apocalypse does come, I'm going to kill Madonna and I'm going to take her house.
Plus, it's not that impressive because I work with somebody who eats in the bath. So she's not even doing anything interesting.
That's true. Eat in the bath. When are we going to get an Instagram video of you eating in the bath going, let them eat cake, like Marie Antoinette? I think you You should do a Madonna parody video where you have the same shitty music that she's got playing in the background, and you got rose petals in your bath, because I'm sure you can steal some flowers from your mother's garden, and you must luxuriate in the bath, and you must be eating a piece of cake, and you must say, Madonna, I'm one up on you because I'm eating cake like Marie Antoinette.
Yeah, or a garage pie.
I just started seeing memes of this. And, you know, I have to psych myself up for something like that. But Madonna, I think in her case, she's just trying to now be relevant in all of these ways. And I think she's trying to make herself like a caricature of herself.
Isn't that always what Madonna's doing? She's always striving to be the most relevant. And to her credit, she's done it for, 40 years?
To sustain a career this long, but now
I think she's running out.
She's evolved three or four times.
You can only kiss Britney Spears on stage so many times.
Yeah, you remember that? Wow,
right? Yeah. And have the cone-shaped bra so many times as well.
Oh God, yeah, exactly.
We've lived through decades of Madonna.
All right, you want to get some headlines?
But alrighty.
What you wanted to say something?
No, I was going to say, does all of this talk just make you go back to thinking that China must pay again?
Yeah, China must pay. That's what I'm saying at the end of every sentence now with anyone I'm talking to.
Well, now my thing about that is going to be, how did Guy Ritchie stay with her so long?
Well, he's a cool guy. I mean, I follow him, and he has such an interesting life.
Mm. No, he's very cool.
Yeah, he's cool. So, all right, first story of the morning, SARS. Do we really care about SARS during this crisis? No, we don't.
No, SARS was the last crisis.
Yeah, well, here they are. They've missed their revenue collection target set in February last year by 66 billion rand. The revenue service announced today it collected 1.356 trillion rand in revenue for the 2019-2020 financial year. Personal income tax was the main source of that revenue. Yes, we know that. So every time you see someone who is doing well, who is driving an expensive car, who does live in a mansion like J-Lo, just remember they're paying most of the tax that's keeping the rest of this country alive. So you can hate and you can be, you know, basically like what I was saying just now about how I sound a little bit, what's the word? I sound like I'm, there's a word with a...
Jaded.
Yeah, I'm almost like a little bit jealous. I'm not really. I mean, it's more of a bitterness and like... Madonna's just out of touch. But in the case of SARS, those people who are paying tax, and I'm not talking about the ones who are dodging tax, obviously, but that makes up more than 40% of the total figure. Isn't that interesting? The contribution of corporate tax and value-added tax shrank because businesses and consumers continue to struggle in the country's tight economy. So again, if you criticize big business, they're not so big anymore.
Yeah, look at this.
Yeah, so there's some news out of SARS and something we've got to worry about because, of course, government are spending money right now during this crisis. They're rolling out test kits. They've got the army deployed. They've got the police deployed. There's a lot going on from a government point of view. These ministers are actually working for the first time in ages, and that means they're spending money. But we've got to worry about where that money's coming from, and to miss it by 66 billion rand is a fortune.
Phew.
It's still nothing compared to what the Guptas have, but it's a fortune. Never forget. And then this is a weird story. I told Sia about this on Monday, but it seems there are more details emerging. Officers in Cape Town stumbled upon a crime scene on the beach. They were on routine early morning patrols, and they made a gruesome find. Listen to this. They spotted a vehicle on the Bayview section of Strandfontein heading towards the beach on Tuesday. The occupants looked suspicious. They observed four men walking towards the ocean, decided to approach the vehicle. On checking the vehicle, they found the bodies of two adult males covered with blankets. Another body was found in the bucky. So there's three bodies. The four men aged between 26 and 54 were immediately arrested. According to the police brigadier Novella Portela, the deceased had stab and gunshot wounds. So the officers eventually went to a house in Eersterefield, believed to be the initial crime scene, and they're now being investigated by the anti-gang crime unit. How's that for a story?
It's said to have been execution style. That's how these people were killed.
Well, the worst thing about this is, I suppose, you know, now's a good time to commit crime, and criminals are carrying on with their business during this time because there are less people around to observe them, so they can go to the beach and try to get rid of bodies.
But clearly not in this case. Yeah, they were literally caught in the act.
Well done to the popo on finding them. That's a scary story. And then
Panyaza, they literally couldn't deny it. So they were caught in the act.
When I say Panyaza Lesufi, you say attention seeker.
I say Jess.
Okay, well, Panyaza Lesufi, who's the acting social development MEC, says the department underestimated the number of homeless people in the province. How do you like them apples? Lesufi visited a site in Pretoria on Wednesday where homeless people are being accommodated for the lockdown. The MEC said the provincial government are determined to get everyone off the streets in a bid to fight the spread of COVID-19. There are about 2,000 vulnerable people being housed in shelters and relocated to temporary accommodation, but this is a far bigger problem to grapple with. An estimated 13,000 homeless people still need to be found and relocated. Now, if we can do this during a crisis, like this crisis we're dealing with, why weren't we looking after these homeless people before the crisis?
Because you've said it. Now they have to work. You know, in crisis, in anything, whether personal or large scale, your weakest points always get exposed. So if you were lazy when times were good, now it's going to stick out like a sore thumb.
Yeah.
Because we're not looking at anything else.
Well, we spoke to Debbie Droke just now about the airline business, and she's done work for SAA and Alitalia, but British Airways are expected to announce they will suspend around 36,000 staff.
Ooh, that's rough.
The airline, which has grounded most of its fleet due to the coronavirus crisis, has been negotiating with the Unite Union for more than a week. The two sides have reached a broad deal, but are not yet clear on the details. The agreement says up to 80% of BA's cabin crew, ground staff, engineers, and those working at head office will have their jobs suspended, but no one is going to be made redundant yet. The decision will affect staff at Gatwick and London City Airport after the airline suspended its operations at both locations until the crisis is over. Those affected are expected to receive some of their wages through the government's coronavirus job retention scheme, which covers 80% of someone's salary, capped at a maximum of £2,500 a month. It helps to be a country with some money in the bank, hey?
Right now you're emptying out all of the kitties.
Well, yeah, but I mean, our government doesn't even have money at the moment to spend. You heard there's a shortfall according to SARS, so we're going to have to borrow that money. And when we borrow now, because we're junk status, it's going to cost us way more. And this is an interesting thing. I found out yesterday, if you're going to take this payment holiday that the banks are giving, some of the banks, just be careful. Hey, they add that to the end of your bond or your loan.
Well, they're still a business. So, I mean, I don't know if people thought they were going to... they're not your grandmother.
No, they're not your grand. He's going to say, don't worry about that 2,000 rand. Yeah. These guys, they're in business, as Mbulelo says, and all they're doing is they're deferring your payments to the end. So if you've got a bond that lasts for like 10 years, they're just going to add another 2-3 months at the end of the 10 years. So it ends up actually costing you more in the long run. But if you need that cash flow right now, it helps. So they're doing what they can, but they can't exactly give you money. The banks don't – remember – the banks are borrowing money too, and most of the money that the banks have is not theirs. It belongs to clients of theirs. So you can't just expect them to hand it over. It's not yours and it's not theirs. And just because times are tough doesn't mean you can steal. And then finally, Australian scientists have begun to test potential vaccines, and they've been made by Oxford University and US company Inovo Pharmaceutical.
That's good news.
Yeah, they've been cleared for animal testing by the World Health Organization. Australia's National Science Agency will assess if the vaccines work, if they would be safe for humans. I don't know why they do this to animals, though. I mean, what have the animals done? We've got prisoners.
You know you'll stand by that, and it's still – I hear exactly where you're coming from with that, but it's sort of very unpopular.
You think about – okay, so a vaccine might work on an animal, might not work on a human. We've got different genetic structures, but all prisoners are human as far as I can tell. So if we go straight to testing on them, especially like convicted rapists and murderers, who's going to cry if the virus – if the vaccine doesn't work on these people? It's not necessarily going to kill them. It might just have an adverse reaction on their health. Which, frankly, I think for a lot of people means they could save some money on keeping them in prison.
And it's a fair point. Australia is a country that was built out of prisoners.
Right.
So
if anyone should know, it's
probably
them.
A good place to start. Yeah.
Even just before prisoners, though, I would have a couple of people I'd sign up to have something tested on them.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying that prison populations, go to the prison and ask them, volunteer. Listen, if you volunteer to be the person who we test this thing on, then either you'll get out early, maybe, or we'll tell everybody what a hero you are for being the person who volunteered to be tested. There's a chance for
okay. So now we're talking business.
I'm not saying we line them up and test them on, you know, and to be inhumane and then kill them with this stuff. I'm saying give them a chance to volunteer, and then they can get out early, or they can be a hero.
Or what about going to countries that have the death sentence and anyone on death row?
Yeah.
And I know it's a philosophical dilemma, but. Yeah. There's an option.
Right. I mean, we're going to dispose of them anyway, so let's put them to good use.
Hey, you know, they can be released early from prison with an extra arm coming out of their forehead.
Well, that's kind of extreme. You know, we're not testing deadly chemicals and radiation therapy on them, which we do to people who are suffering from cancer anyway. We're testing vaccines that are supposed to be for the purpose of a specific disease.
Yeah, I'm only joking.
I mean, yeah, anyway, Sia immediately jumps to the most terrible eugenics.
But you know, everyone has a price. I assure you, even if you offered it to the average Joe Soap, you're like, can you deal with an arm coming from your forehead? Or,
well, I mean, some people might look
for
better.
For a certain price, yes.
I'd like to suggest J-Lo and Madonna to be the guinea pigs in this test.
Jennifer Guadalupe Lopez.
That's the one. All right, so those are the headlines. Those are the things you absolutely need to know this morning. I hope that helps you get through your day. And only some of it was coronavirus related. So we're trying not to bore you to death with the coronavirus stuff. It is already the 2nd of April. Was April Fool's a thing yesterday? Because it didn't seem to be to me.
Oh, I just saw it not getting the best reaction for some people on social media who thought it was appropriate to do some April Fool's posts. And the responses from people were like, hey, guys, look, we're already going through a lot. Yeah. Don't bring more, you know,
bullshit
just
into our
bad
lives.
News for the sake of trying to sound funny. Like a big person who got big backlash was Magnus Haystack.
Oh, yeah?
He tweeted something along the lines of, Hi, everyone. I've just been informed that the lockdown has been extended. I'll follow up later with more details.
Oh, no, not a good one.
That's not ordinarily, maybe it could be funny. And I think it could be funny coming from someone else. The fact that Magnus has this big platform and he's such a credible guy. Yeah. And, you know, he never goes onto social media to talk about what he had for lunch or what his family is doing. He's always there to discuss business.
Yeah, and the economy, yeah.
Mm. So when he tweets something like that, I also...
You shit yourself. You know,
set up a little going, oh, shucks, are we, what are we in for?
Well,
so then he later apologized.
Yeah, we must get him on, actually. He'd be an interesting guest one morning. Pinky, you apparently have been cooking every single night so far during the lockdown, and you've run out of ideas.
Oh, goodness. I'm completely out of ideas now. I don't know what to make. And the thing is that my friend doesn't know how to cook. So we can't order takeaways. We can't... We just screwed. So I even tonight, I don't know what I'm going to make.
That's a bad combination.
I sympathize with you. Hey? I'm not good at cooking. I mean, I did some fish yesterday for lunch, and I thought I was quite – I even took a picture of it, but I'm not going to post that because who the hell wants to see that? But I took a picture and sent it to someone who doesn't believe I can cook. And it was okay, but I'm not one of these people who's proud of my, you know, my dish – at the end of it. So I just want to eat to live, not live to eat. And if I were cooking for someone else, I'd be embarrassed.
Have you found that you've now had to follow YouTube videos on how to make things?
I'm not there yet. I think I'll try that out from next week. But right now I'm just winging it at this point, eh?
Do you know how many people are winging cleaning their own house for the first time during this coronavirus too? I know this is a middle class thing, but you know, we often talk about the relationship between domestic workers and the people they work for. A lot of domestic workers are not going to work at the moment because it wouldn't be safe. And they're under lockdown, and the people they work for are under lockdown. So you find like a lot of people who live in these big houses in the suburbs are having to clean their own house. And they are not enjoying that.
That's a rude awakening.
They are not having fun cleaning these 40 rooms in their big house that usually they have, you know, we've got the maid to do that, so I don't have to worry about it, really. Now you do. And cleaning the toilets. See these people.
Making their own bed.
Yeah, right. It's horrible.
It's funny that now when you drop a towel on the floor and you keep on going.
Yeah.
Massive thing now that you'll find the towel there.
Yeah, no one's taking it and cleaning it up, and no one's making your bed in the mornings, and no one's vacuuming your floors. And because I did some exercise yesterday, and some of them, it's the weirdest. If you saw me, you'd laugh your head off, because I mean, I know there's no one looking. So I lie down next to my bed on the floor, and then I hold on to the bed, almost like if you were holding a barbell above your head. And I hold onto the bed and I do leg lifts, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of an abdominal exercise. And I didn't get the idea from being brilliant. I just found some dude on YouTube or Instagram or whatever who showed me how to do it. And it's a cool exercise, but I suddenly realized, like, I was sneezing a lot because there's so much dust on the floor that I start sneezing. And that's not good.
Oh, wow.
I mean, yeah, I vacuumed and I cleaned it up a little bit. Then it was a bit better, but... You only realize these things when you're lying next to your bed on the floor, which nobody does. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing exercise there. And I'm like, Jesus, there's a lot of dust down here.
And I just want to say, people that I feel really sorry for is those equestrian moms who their full-time job is going to brunches between stables. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it must just be murder for them.
They must be hating to have conversations with their own children and husband.
Exactly. And now they have to do nothing at home instead of doing nothing at high,
very bad. I feel for them too. Thank you, Mbolelo. You're very compassionate.
This is who I am.
Yes. Now we can
okay,
tell.
Okay. So on this note, can I just gloat then a little?
Go on.
Oh, I've been having 3 meals a day, at least cooked for me.
Oh, you see?
I've had my laundry done.
Mommy's baby's and, back at home.
Oh, and my mom is still in the phase of just being so grateful that I'm spending so much time at home.
Oh.
That she is like doing everything that I liked. Like she stocked up on my favorite snacks.
Mm-hmm.
Had blueberry muffins baked for me.
Ooh, look at you.
I know right now, as soon as the show has wrapped up, I'll go downstairs. And then I know that Milo will be ready for me.
Wow. Yeah, this is nice.
Oh, I am loving this. But on the flip side, a little problem I didn't see coming was the fact that my mom and I have had this now 3-day conversation on a fight we had on Sunday, I think.
Oh.
So because we can't run away from each other, we have to talk things through. So we first had this little argument on Sunday and she goes, do you want to sit down? I'm like, well, I kind of really don't want to sit down, but we had to talk it through. And then she says, you know what? Okay, so we'll just carry on with this tomorrow. And you know what? I can't get away from her.
Yeah, so stuck. Yeah, you're stuck with it.
Talking through on Monday and then we talked it through last night. We're fine now. But it's kind of like, well, we're in each other's faces, so we'll have to deal with each other like this.
Well, there's some good news, cryptocurrency news, and we haven't done a cryptocurrency update for a while. So on the 13th of March, the Bitcoin price was like in the toilet, and it continued to be in the toilet all the way until probably about the 20th. And then somewhere around the 20th, it started climbing again. And it's by no means back to where it was before, but it's like $6,637 at the moment for a Bitcoin. Mm. And it seems to be like now it's trading around 117,000 Rand per Bitcoin. So maybe that's a ray of hope that's coming into the world at the moment, is that these alternative. And we did an interesting episode with Marius from Luno and with Dane from Troy Gold, which you can find on cliffcentral.com if you're interested in, you know, in gold and cryptocurrencies as alternative value places that you can keep some of your value. I mean, especially the Rand at the moment is just, you know, tanking horribly. So there's something to think about too. We haven't done that for an age. Coming up in the Burning Platform in the next hour, very exciting. We've got, let me go through the list here because it's some impressive guests. First of all, Canthan Pillay will join us from, he and his family decided to debunk to Plettenberg Bay, where they're in this house, and he and his wife and the kids are hunkering down there. And you know, Plettenberg Bay is just such a terrible place to be stuck, right?
Yeah, brutal.
Terrible.
Oh, brutal.
Oh, I feel so bad.
Right as he has ocean views as well.
Yeah, I know. And Valdemar Pelser, who will join us. Valdemar is well known to our audience too, but he's a presenter on CakeNet. He is also an author. He's also an editor of newspapers. And he keeps track of political and current affairs on Twitter, so he's a good guy to talk to. And Valdemar Pelser, always adding value. And then also Jonathan Witt, because we thought we've got a doctor who used to have a show here on cliffcentral.com, and he continues to do the Renegade Report with Roman. He's always got opinions about politics and about society, but we need him as a doctor at the moment, as does the whole country. So we'll have him wade into some of the COVID-19 stuff as well. So all of that's coming up in the Burning Platform, which is going to be on fire this morning. On fire.
Hey, Mbulele, you're still doing the live stream tonight.
Oh, I was going to say. So we tonight, between 7 and 7:30, if you want to talk sport, there's lots going on.
Mm-hmm.
Send your questions on the Gareth Cliff Show Instagram page.
Is there a lot going on?
Yeah, there's always something happening in sport. I mean, just because they're not playing, there's like huge contracts. And the big part about sport,
Pinky, are you laughing at me because I know nothing about sport?
No, because I'm also wondering what could be happening right now with sports.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's complications, right? So, like, if you've got a contract in the Premier League and the Premier League season extends beyond June and big players have to move, what do you do then? There's huge controversy with new sponsors that are coming on. A world record sponsorship deal has been signed with Liverpool, and it's a new brand. So now if Liverpool play on beyond that, their current contract, are they going to play in the new kit, old kit? We're talking like $1 billion here, right? And they're already thinking of taking the current sponsor to court. So there's a lot happening.
Sure.
7:30 tonight, Gareth Cliff Show Instagram Live.
All right. Very good. Very good. Okay, a few messages.
I've
seen all the messages. I haven't got to any of them this morning, but I promise you we'll try and make our way through a few of them. First of all, I commend you all on your efforts to use technology to keep the live show going during lockdown. I don't usually catch the live show, but with lockdown, I figured I've got no excuse. Well, here's the thing. If you wake up like we do every morning at 6, that is part of the routine that you're going to get into. And it's good for you. Trust me. You need a routine. Otherwise, you will let yourself go. You will become like early man. You will be wandering around your house. And if you're a woman, you'll grow hair in places you shouldn't. If you're a man, you'll grow hair in places you shouldn't. And you're just going to look like a gross, disgusting human. And if you wake up with us and you shave and you brush your teeth and you get dressed every morning, it'll help you to be civilized for the duration of the lockdown. So to go back to this, I figured I have no excuse. It's pretty cool listening to you from your different locations. Keep up the great work. But wait, you mentioned Mbulelo and Mfundo in the studio. Should they be at work? Is it safe for them to travel to and from work every morning? Shouldn't they be on lockdown like the rest of us? Only essential services should be working, right? Well, you want to answer that, Mbulelo, because we did discuss this before the lockdown.
Sure, and I think it's a valid question. But Mfundo actually lives on the property that our studio is at, so he is self-isolating here. Mm-hmm. And then I have moved into the office, actually. We've got a floor here. We occupy a floor. So I'm living here. So we are completely complying with the rules. We are not traveling. If worst case scenario, I don't want to be this guy and get on the back foot. But what we do for a living is considered an essential service. So we could have pushed it to that. But we've been responsible and we are self-isolating. So Mfundo and I are living here. So we're not breaking the law. We're playing ball.
And they say they haven't been raided by the police yet, so we're safe.
Yet. You must say yet.
Yeah, yet. And then Pinky, I'm downloading healthy salad recipes from the internet. I'm having fun. Try that if you're not sure what else to make.
I don't like salads, though.
Oh, well. Duh, okay. That's from Noxy.
Pick your struggle. Pick your struggle, really.
That message is from Noxy. Noxy, thank you very much. Someone's complaining. Gerrit says, I even had to cut my lawn yesterday. So chores. Chores are the thing.
Thoughts and prayers.
It's a real thing. I recommend you watch The Dark Tourist on Netflix. In one of the episodes on Africa, they documented a group here in South Africa called the Saitlanders. Yeah, I think we've actually referred to them before, Cabello. And it's a scary thing that there are these weird like groups. And they've been in lockdown for like 40 years. They've been in mental lockdown all their lives, but these people live like preppers. They think that there's a folk start in their heads, you know? It's a weird situation, those Saitlanders. But yes, thank you very much. The Dark Tourist, a suggestion from Cabello this morning. What is the biggest lesson learned from this pandemic? I think it'll teach everybody to save for a rainy day. Stop living from hand to mouth. Save 10% from all the earnings into an emergency fund from the day you start working. That's some good advice from Oki. Bit too late, though, for some of us.
Mm. So don't take the 10% to church. Save it for yourself.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
True story.
Sia, where is your parents' home? People want to know, so don't tell them, because otherwise they'll come and line up outside your house so that they can get your mother's home-cooked meals.
I see what they're gunning for here now.
Not on.
We're in Durban.
Yeah. It's a good thing that those body dumpers in Cape Town did not take their dogs along the beach, because they'll be in real trouble.
What's the point there?
Well, I think
I see what's happening there. I think somebody who's grumpy because they can't walk their dog, and now they're going, like, woe is me. I'm so wealthy that I have dogs, and I'm sad now.
All right, so Monet, there's not a lot of support from Bulelo this morning.
Jeez. Come on, Monet.
Yeah. Right. And then this is a very valid point being made by Luzon. Luzon says, praise Joe Jackson. That's Michael Jackson's father, Joe Jackson, who's often a guest on our show. Yesterday, I had my 3-year-old son carry my ankle weights from one end of the house to the next and up and down the stairs. It helps them to expend some energy. Next week, I'm going to simulate a cobalt mine in my garden. Oh. Good for you, Luzon. What a star parent you are.
Oh, no.
Fucking little kids.
Children need structure, so good for you, Luzon.
Yeah, there we go. Can't make them carry those weights. Good for you.
Just for what, exactly?
Wow.
3 years old. Shame, man.
Yeah, I've been washing my face with honey for the last 6 years, and my skin feels fantastic, says Michelle. So that's to get back to what you were saying, Bulelo. Well done. No sugar in any drinks for more than 30 years. Wow.
Awesome.
Michelle.
Awesome.
Stellar. Yeah. Listening live for the first time in 2 years. Lockdown has me running out of sleep. You're listening live for the first time in 2 years. Oh, I see. You're waking up early where I'm sleeping. I'm going to sleep early in the evenings. I'm so proud of myself. So this is the opposite story for Mosa, who says, no, this listening live in the morning is killing me because I have to wake up early.
All right. Shame, man. A lot of people have these screwed up sleeping patterns.
Yeah. Here's an idea. There's some sick people out there. This is an idea from Woody, who's usually got terrible ideas. Someone can get a bunch of blow-up dolls, fill them up with helium, uh-oh, and then release them outside, and then it will look like people have been raptured. Isn't that great?
It's amazing.
I've just thought that would be the funniest scene in a movie. I'm going to send – do you mind, Woody, if I steal this idea, because this is your best idea ever, and I give it to, like, Will Ferrell and tell him, put this into your next movie?
So Woody, as soon as we're allowed to touch each other again, I'm just going to give you a hug. I think you need a hug. You need to
stop. What a beautiful idea.
No, brilliant. You need to stop thinking about these things.
This is genius. This is your moment to be like Newton under lockdown. Your great theory, your Principia Mathematica has just arrived. That's what that is, Woody. I love it. Genius. I love it.
Genius.
All right. Very good. So those are the messages. You can always get hold of us on 0797482090. I've got to say the message screen has just lit up over the last few days as people are listening live and participating in the show. So we love that. Sia, you got some news on Prince Harry?
Oh, guys. Well, are we even calling him Prince Harry anymore?
I mean, Harry Windsor. What's Harry Windsor and his wife Meghan Markle up to?
Yeah, you know, first name basis now. So, yeah, they officially had their last day as royals on the 31st.
Oh, I'm so,
so
sad.
They're out of there now. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, we probably called it as it is, even when this whole situation of them splitting from the family started. They're now living in LA. And just a day after his official last day as a royal, I think, who knows, this could be a new career for him because now Prince Harry has released a song. Sorry.
Christ. I couldn't released even a what?
I couldn't complete it. Seriously.
He's released a song.
He's released a song.
No, Sia. Don't.
Yes. Okay, so I have to give it more context, though. So he's teamed up with John Bon Jovi.
Yeah.
Who wrote the song originally from like another project that he was working on, but he wrote the song called Unbroken. And he said, you know, actually this would be so fitting for Prince Harry's organization.
This is so undignified.
So now Prince Harry is collaborating with John Bon Jovi on this new song called Unbroken.
Is he singing in the song?
He's singing with it, and he's singing on it. Oh, and actually, wow, he's not the bad. First royal to sing, though, because Prince William has also sung on something.
Yeah, but like for charity and for... Yeah, please, this is pathetic. Just imagine Meghan Markle saying to him, it'll be a great idea. If people will love you, they'll feel with, you know, you're one of the people. And we love singers in America.
Yeah, well, maybe
What a time to release a song when no one wants to see a performance.
It might make you feel better, the fact that it is for the Invictus Games, which is dedicated to rehabilitating
the injured. Have they put it out yet? Can you hear it?
Yeah, it's available even on YouTube right now. So do yourself a favor and listen to it.
All right, send me the link. I want you to hear this quickly before we get to the burning platform. Yesterday, Charles came out of quarantine to send this message. Right, are you ready?
Having recently gone through the process of contracting this coronavirus, luckily with relatively mild symptoms, and I find myself on the other...
Oh, God, hang on. Oh, just wouldn't play, sorry.
Having recently gone through the process of contracting this coronavirus, luckily with relatively mild symptoms, I now find myself on the other side of the illness, but still in no less a state of social distance and general isolation. As we're all learning, this is a strange, frustrating and often distressing experience when the presence of family and friends is no longer possible and the normal structures of life are suddenly removed. At such an unprecedented and anxious time in all our lives, my wife and I are thinking particularly of all those who have lost their loved ones.
So Charles has basically come out of quarantine a little bit. I mean, he's still self-isolating, but he says he's recovered. And there we go. He seems in ebullient health. Very happy. Seems things are under control, and he's very pleased with himself. So that's Harry's father. He's releasing the same old, and Harry's releasing songs. I don't think they'll be talking to each other for very long. And then someone correcting us here. This is a good point. In fact, I think it's Canton. He said it's not Harry Wales or Windsor. It's Harry Markle, surely.
We've reached that point now.
Reached that point. So, Pinky, thanks for joining us for this hour. We will be back with A Burning Platform next. And the next song was actually chosen by Pinky, something to hopefully make you feel good this morning. It's Jhené Aiko. CliffCentral.com